You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
It's all too clear. Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Monday. God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me as we together sit under the authority of the Word of God. We listen to the Word. We let the Word of God strengthen us. And I pray that He does just that. For the next 30 minutes, we're tuning in now to God's frequency, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. The word today is going to come. We're in Exodus chapter 3, and it's going to come as the Lord God reveals His name to Moses. We're in the middle of this series here, the man Moses, the man of faith, the man of God. Here today is Moses in the name of God. We're in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at the name of God that He revealed to Moses when the Lord sent Moses to go and set the Israelites free from bondage. Moses said to God, "When they ask me what His name is, what should I say to them?" That's our launching point here for today. So this will play today and tomorrow. Monday and Tuesday, we'll be back with the book of Revelation. Wednesday for the rest of the week. Let's get into the Word now. This is part one. We're naturally going to end up in the New Testament as we look at the name I Am. We're starting with Jehovah God in the Old Testament. We're going to end up here with the Son of God in the New. For more info on this ministry, it's islandcommunitychurch.net is our website. Statement of Faith is up there. The video to yesterday's sermon is uploaded on our YouTube channel. Same name, Island Community Church on YouTube. Okay, here we go. This is part one of this message, Moses and the Name of God. When we get down to the bottom of this, I encourage you guys to write on here where it says the seven I Am statements of Christ. Starting at 6:35 down to 15:1. That's a good place to fill that in. The bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life, and the true vine. That'll be a good place. That's where I wrote and filled mine in. So I encourage you guys to keep that hand out. And we're in Exodus chapter 3. So let's pray before we get started and go any further, because without the Lord's blessings, this nothing works out. Lord, we exalt you here. We ask indeed for your blessings. We exalt you. We magnify you together. We praise your holy name. Be with us now here today. Speak to us through your word. Show us perhaps what one thing we lack today. We draw close to you. We pray that you would draw close to us. Inhabit the praises of your people now. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We've had some wonderful studies here these past few weeks in the life of Moses, haven't we? Now, today we're going to continue that. I've entitled this message, Moses in the Name of God. So please turn with me to Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. where we left off last Sunday. These sermons are uploaded to on our YouTube channel. So if you missed, the week before had no sound, so that's lost forever. Last week's is uploaded there on the Island Community Church YouTube page, where this is going here right now. So greetings to everyone on YouTube and everyone that's watching here on Facebook here as well this morning. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us. And everyone who'll be listening in Monday and Tuesday as this airs on the radio. Thank you guys for spending 30 minutes of your day today with us here. We're studying the Word of God. Sit under the authority of the Word of God. Okay, now in our last sermon, we looked at the holiness of God. That's where we left off. And how God instructed Moses to take his shoes off. Everyone remember that from last week? Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look," that is Moses, "God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.'" So we discovered that he didn't say this because God is some kind of eccentric. He said this because God is holy. That's why he said this. "Take off your shoes," he told Moses. "Do not draw near to me. You've got dead animals on your feet. Therefore, you can't draw near to me like that." We also saw that here isn't the only place where we run into the holiness of God, if you guys remember. Aaron and his sons tried to, I presume, have their own worship service. That was Leviticus chapter 10. Last week we saw that when they dragged them out, remember? Smoking corpses, dragged them out by their tunics, it says in the Bible, for having an unauthorized, well, they burn incense in God's house, and he didn't command it. We also read of someone named Uzzah, who made the mistake of touching the ark. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let me read these few verses to you. 2 Samuel 6, I'm not sure if I have it on the handout, nevertheless. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000 of them. And David arose, and he went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts." That would be Jehovah Sabaoth, "who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, they drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. Now, when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God, and he took hold of it because the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there before the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day." And then in verse 9 it said, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day." I bet. And you know, that reminds me. How come nothing happened to the Philistines who loaded the ark onto the cart
in the first place. Nothing happened to them for doing that, as far as we know, at least. How come they never dropped dead or had the fire of God come down out of heaven and strike them like Aaron's two sons? Answer, because they didn't know better. Uzzah knew better. Aaron's sons knew better. Ananias and Sapphira, who were killed in Acts chapter 5 for lying to God. Now, I'm not sure if they knew better, but everyone else sure knew then after that, didn't they? When it said, when great fear fell upon the whole church, and now you know better. Same as these guys. Now, our text from last Sunday continues. Verse 9, Exodus 3:6. Moreover, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, Jesus quotes this passage as well. He says, God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. In other words, Abraham is not dead. Neither is his son Isaac. Neither is his son Jacob. And neither will you be, even after you've gone, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. So then it said, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to gaze at God again. I bet he was. This is how you can tell the difference between a real believer and a genuine encounter with God and the phony one. Please remember that. See, the charlatan or the mistaken claims that he or she goes to heaven, sees the face of Almighty God, and then returns to sell books about it. Whereas the genuine encounter with absolute holiness, that person falls on his face like a dead man at the presence of God, just like Isaiah. Remember when Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord seated on the throne, and he said, woe is me, for I'm ruined. I'm ruined. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. John saw him. He fell at his feet like a dead man because God is holy. We saw what happens last week when you lose track of that and don't approach him in this way. Those who are in the presence of God are told, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Everything else, like I like to say, my church family knows my figure of speech. Everything else I like to call is just too much linguine. Ever have wild dreams when you eat too much red sauce before you go to bed, baby? Hence the phrase, too much linguine. You will not go to heaven and pal around with any member of the Holy Trinity. You will take off your shoes. That's the response to being in the presence of Almighty God. Now, verse 7. God speaking to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the mosquito bites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, Moses' response, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he said, this is God speaking, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, up comes the Spock eyebrow now. How does he do that anyway? Hits him with truth. Up comes the eyebrow, out with the, I've got some questions. Indeed. Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Fair enough question, is it not? Who are you, God? Maybe you have asked the same question in your life. Who are you, God? What's your name? I mean, there are many so-called gods, especially at that time and even today. We use that word, it's so run-of-the-mill today, God with a little g. My phone can't spell it. My phone is the smartest thing. It can split the atom, but it's never heard of God before. You know, on this spell check on your phone, misspell God and see what it does. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, you know, the O and the I are right next to each other, and I send a text to someone and I say, Gid bless you. And it says, good, got, gum. How about God? The O is right next to the I on the keyboard, but the thing is too stupid to know that there is a God up in heaven for the love of Pete. Gid bless you, Gid. And the eyes next to the O, Gid bless you. Let me tell you about God. Gods with the little G's, right? Guitar gods, weather gods, the baseball gods have been demigods, God parents, God child, God this, God that, little G. Etc., etc., etc. But who are you? Which one are you, God? What's your name so that I can tell the 6 million wandering Jews out here, they're not wandering yet, what's your name? That's what he wants to know. And now in verse 14, and the springboard for all we're going to look at here today, Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. All caps. Notice that in your Bible. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your father, that's the words Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial. In other words, think on this. This is my memorial for all generations. This is my name forever. This is my memorial for all generations. So what does that mean, I am? I am is the English translation of the verb to be. Like I am, you are, he is. We even read in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 in the greeting, he says, greetings from he who is. You don't even need to follow that with any. Now I'm going to start stuttering when I try to explain what the name means. I was fine sticking to just what I know. What do I know? He is. And he's good. This I know. This I know is that God demonstrates his own love towards me and that while I was still sinner, Jesus died on the cross for me. I won't stutter speaking that one out this morning. I might stammer or trying to explain his name. Now many of you know I'm a Bible translator. And my PhD came about through my 800-page, size 8 font, single-spaced Old Testament. And the Old Testament name here for God, in the Greek Septuagint, he says, well, in Greek, it says, ego, eimi, ho, own, which is, I am the being. Now, that's my translation is an update of a genius mastermind scholar in Greek. That's not my invention. I am the being. So, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the being has sent me. What an awesome, I mean, who can understand that? The being. Wrap your mind around that. The being has sent me to you. Not a being, not a human being. The being. Now, usually the phrase I am demands, I think I learned in English school, it demands something called a predicate. That is, something's got to follow, right? I mean, you got to be something. You are what? Nope. It means what it says. I am. In other words, we could say the self-existent one, nothing else follows. I am. The being. So you go and you tell the people, he tells Moses, that the being has sent me to you. So anytime you read in your Bible the name Lord with all caps, capital L-O-R-D, that's this name, that's this verb to be, I am, or the being, I am. Yahweh. Jehovah, we read in the King James Version, the great I am, the covenant name revealed to Moses for the very first time right here in this third chapter of Exodus. Now remember, God's revealed himself by many names. There's El Shaddai, El Elyon, that's Most High, Elohim, that's God, Jehovah, Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Elohim, which means Lord God. In Greek, you have the word Kyrios, which means Lord. You have Pantokratos, which means all-powerful, or Theos, which means the God. So, now you know this origin of the name. Remember that phrase, I am, as we move forward here this morning. Now, if you guys would, turn with me, please, to John chapter 8. Going to the New Testament. We might not understand it all, but we know when we hear the phrase, I am, we know what this is. This is the covenant holy name of the self-existent one, Almighty God. Now, I want to look at a conversation that took place between Jesus and the Jewish leaders of the day. Let's pick it up. We're in John chapter 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 51. As we remember, I am is the personal name of God. Okay, here we go. John 8:51. Most assuredly, again, that's amen, amen, verily, verily, amen, amen, amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Wow. Is that saying that anyone who does what he says will never die? Well, that's how the Jews interpret what he said. Verse 52, then the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? So that's what they ask him. Who do you make yourself out to be, Jesus? But first, what a great promise, right? If anyone keeps my word, he or she will never see death. That is the second death. Will have no power over you. Most of us die once, right? Unless we get lucky and don't die at all. I say lucky, I'm being facetious. Unless if you're the blessed generation that's going to be alive when he comes back. And I'd bet you anything that I own, the generation of your guys' kids and all these other kids that were here today, this world just can't go on like it is without something changing. The generation that's alive when he comes back will never die. So you might die once in this world, but he's guaranteeing that you're not going to die twice, because the first death is not the end. The Bible says, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. So here in John 8, things are building up here to a huge crescendo as Jesus reveals to the Jews just who he truly is. Verse 56, Jesus floors them with this comment. Look at what he says. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. So the Lord is saying here that he knows Abraham, who lived 2,000 years earlier than him. Verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, you are not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? So you, Jesus, you're not even 50. You're not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Is this a case of too much linguine? You as a human being, you now as a human being, you don't have a lot of options right here. Jesus hits you with this truth. I have seen Abraham, and he lived 2,000 years earlier. You now, as a congregation, you're running low on options what to do with someone that's going to make that statement to you. You're running out of choices. Who is the man called Jesus? 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, or verily, verily, or you can take this to the bank. I say to you that before Abraham was, I am. Now in Greek, he said to him, Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi. That is, before Abraham was, I am.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.